Hello and welcome in to eBible Fellowship Sunday afternoon questions and answers time, where you can interact with us with your questions and comments related to the Bible, and we'll try to respond as well as possible by going to the Bible. If you're calling us by phone, dial 209-647-1600 and then enter access code 181610, followed by the pound key, and that'll get you into conference. Then press star 6 and 1. If you're using Skype, simply press the free conference call button, then press your dial pad button and enter access code 181610, then press the pound key. And to get in line to ask a question, press star 6 and 1. If you're using Paltalk, go to eBible Fellowship's room, and once there, you can raise your hand, and when you're called on, you can ask your question. And now, with Sunday afternoon's questions and answers, here's Chris McCann.
All right. Welcome to our question and answer time this Sunday afternoon. And if you have a question, you're welcome. You're invited to share what's ever on your mind. And we'll be happy to give you the microphone or to relay your question if you're on Pal Talk, but you can also make a comment if you like, and I'll try to respond as much as possible by turning to the Bible, as the Bible is the Word of God, and it is there we find our answers. It is if God's pleased to give them, we can't force the Bible. We can't force God to reveal something to us if it's not His plan. But we can go to Him and we can study and we can ask for wisdom in many things. Okay, we have a question from Pal Talk. Michael, please go ahead.
John Peter Revelations 21 asks, could you please read John chapter 15, verse 27? The question is Jesus addressing only his apostles in that verse or all the believers?
Let's turn to John 15 and read a little bit of the context. It says in verse 23, he that hateth me hateth my Father also. If I had not done among them the works which none other man did, they had not had sin, but now have they both seen and hated both me and my Father. But this cometh to pass, that the word might be fulfilled that is written in their law, they hated me without a cause. But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me, and ye also shall bear witness, because ye have been with me from the beginning. And I'm sorry, what is the question about that verse, verse 27?
The question is Jesus addressing only his apostles or all the believers in that verse?
Oh, okay. Well, when it says that when the Comforter has come, you shall bear witness, it's speaking to the apostles, but also to all believers after them. Let's see if I can find that. Well, I had something in mind, but I can't find it. But we can be sure that God is fully aware that the pouring out of His Spirit is really signaling the beginning of the sending forth of the gospel into the world, the church age. And so all the believers who would come after the apostles would also be in view. But thank you for that question. Let's go to someone on the phones. Welcome to our afternoon fellowship.
Yeah, hi, Chris. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, I can hear you. Please, go ahead.
Okay. Could you please read Acts 16, chapter 16, verses 16 to 18, and then I'd like to ask a question.
Acts 16, 16 through 18. And it came to pass as we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with a spirit of divination met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. The same followed Paul and us and cried, saying, these men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation. And this did she many days, but Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out the same hour.
Okay, I'm going entirely from memory, and I'm speculating a bit here, so I could be entirely incorrect, but I believe there were similar and comparable instances where Jesus cast out devils and healed the sick, and these things were done instantaneously, like on his command. I was curious, in this situation, why Paul commands the unclean spirit to come out, and rather than coming out instantaneously, it says that it comes out within the same hour. Could you comment on that?
Well, I've never noticed that before, but the same hour could be referring to the same time that the statement was made. It may be a reference to perhaps the hour of judgment at that time. God, I don't know. I think if it would be related to a time period, it could be related to the Great Tribulation, which is typified by an hour. But I really never noticed that, so I can't comment.
Okay, thank you.
All right, thank you for those verses and bringing that up. And let's go back to Michael, who has a question from Pal Talk.
Echo 2011 asks, can you explain, Proverbs 16, verse 1?
Proverbs 16, verse 1?
Yep.
The preparations of the heart in man and the answer of the tongue is from Jehovah. Again, I haven't looked at this verse that I can remember, but we do know that God is involved in our lives. He speaks of sealing man's instructions upon their bed while they sleep. All circumstances and events that are transpiring are a result of the permissible will of God, as these things work themselves out, and so since it speaks of the preparations of the heart in man, if it's a child of God in view, of course God gives us a new heart, and when He gives us a new heart, this would affect our tongue and the things that we speak. Now, one verse that also relates to the heart and the mouth can be found in Romans chapter 10, and verses 9 and 10, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So this is pointing to the true believer, God prepares the heart as far as taking out the heart of stone and giving a new heart. And then the answer of the tongue would relate to confessing Christ and professing to be a believer. Profession of faith is not bad in itself as long as it's accompanied by a belief in the heart. The problem is when people profess to believe with their mouth and their heart doesn't match. And so I think that this verse may be pointing to something like we read in Romans 10. But thank you for that question. And let's go to the next person on the phones. Welcome to our Sunday afternoon fellowship question and answer.
Yes, I have a question about Isaiah chapter 54.
Yes.
Verse 9. What is this referring to?
Isaiah 54, verse 9?
Yes.
Let's begin in verse 7. For a small moment have I forsaken thee, but with great mercies will I gather thee. In a little wrath I hid my face from thee for a moment, but with everlasting kindness I will have mercy on thee, saith Jehovah thy Redeemer. For this is as the waters of Noah unto me. For as I have sworn that the waters of Noah should no more go over the earth, so have I sworn that I would not be wroth with thee, nor rebuke thee. Well, in making reference to the waters of Noah, God gave a promise after the flood in which he said that he would never again bring a flood upon the earth to destroy the earth by water. And so now God is speaking to the child of God, and we have experienced God's wrath. But just for a little bit, remember, we were children of wrath even as others, Ephesians 2 tells us. And so for some portion of our life, which varies from individual child of God to child of God, it could be we were saved as a baby or we were saved as an old man. But at some point in our life, we were unsaved, and for some length of time, even if we were unsaved 100 years and then finally became saved at age 100, ultimately that 100 years is nothing but a small moment, and it's a little period of time compared to eternity to come. And so God is indicating, I promised I will never bring the floodwaters to destroy the earth. And likewise, now since I have bestowed my grace upon you, and as it says in verse 8, with everlasting kindness will I have mercy on thee. Now that's just as solid and secure of a promise as the rainbow indicates God's faithfulness to his promise not to bring a flood. And so that's why it's related to the waters of Noah. And so in a unusual way, each day when no flood overtakes the earth, or if we ever see a rainbow in the sky, it can be likened to or can give us some confidence that just as God was faithful in that promise, he will be faithful in his promise to us as a child of God to grant us this everlasting kindness. Well, thank you for that verse. And let's go to the next caller. Welcome to our Sunday afternoon fellowship.
Could we look at Luke chapter 21, verse 12?
Luke 21, 12. But before all these, they shall lay their hands on you and persecute you, delivering you up to the synagogues and into prisons, being brought before kings and rulers for my name's sake.
Okay, this is the chapter, the classic chapter, it talks about the end. But I'm wondering, was Jesus talking about what would happen to the disciples shortly after he died, or is that meant for our day?
Well, you know, you've really put your finger on a difficult verse. As the question is, what time period is it talking about? Because, right, for instance, in verse 9 through 11, it speaks of wars and rumors of wars or commotions, nation rising against nation, and great earthquakes in divers places. But then it says, but before all these, they shall lay their hands on you. And when we go back to Matthew 24, we find the parallel passage and verses 6, 7, and 9. And you shall hear of wars and rumor of wars and nation against nation. And then verse 8 adds, all these are the beginning of sorrows. And so from this passage, we understand that these events are normative. They're the usual experience throughout history, that wars are no indicator of the end, and nor are famines, pestilences, and earthquakes in various places. And that's been actually what history has shown, that you can't think the end is here because of World War I or World War II, even when there's great wars like that. And you can't think the end has come when an earthquake destroys San Francisco or a tsunami as a result of an earthquake kills so many, because the end has not come. And so following these things, we read of the falling away of the church and the information we're familiar with about the Great Tribulation and the end of the world. But the location of verse 12 in Luke 21, when it says, but before all these, and I've looked at this, and the word before means before. Before all these, they shall lay their hands on you and persecute you, delivering you up to synagogues, and then it goes on with events that we normally see as part of the Great Tribulation. So there's something going on here in verse 12 with this word before that I don't understand how God is using it. I'm sure there's a good explanation, but I don't know what it is right now.
Because, you know, we're supposed to, the Bible is spiritual, but with that phrase that says, they shall lay their hands on you, that's physical, you know. I mean, are the Christians going to be tortured or physically hurt, I guess, is what I'm wondering.
No, I don't think necessarily that's physical. Could be, but the laying on of hands, for example, that statement is made in a spiritual sense in order of communicating the gospel in some cases. So I don't think necessarily that means physical persecution.
So you don't think that's a physical? Okay, I thought maybe that's what it meant. So, all right.
No, I don't have problems with the language that's used. The problem is the word before all these, or where the placement of this is the difficult thing.
Okay. All right. Thanks, Chris.
Okay. Thank you. Mm-hmm. And let's go to Michael, who I think has another question from Pal Talk.
Yes. Our next question from PalTalk comes from JLeo2961. The date slash time of Christ's return is also a truth of the Bible, just like all the other truths. Does John chapter 16, verse 13 contradict those who are saying that no one can know the date or the time?
In John 16:13, it says, "Howbeit, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself. Whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come." Now, we actually had gone over this a few years ago, how God sealed up the scriptures, and it was his plan at the end to open up the understanding of his people to a great deal of information in the Bible, including the timing of the end. Now let me share something that's helped me recently, and that is that we have a lot of information in the Bible that pointed to May 21 of 2011 as being Judgment Day. That information still is there. There is, over the last year, we've struggled with two things. We've struggled with the nature of judgment, and secondly, we've struggled with the duration of judgment, but we have not struggled with all the information that pointed to Judgment Day coming on May 21. And all that information remains and continues to point to that date, so that we can say Judgment Day came on May 21. And also, God has helped us in that since things did not work out as we had thought, he has helped us to learn the nature of the judgment, where we understand it's a spiritual judgment and not a physical earthquake or physical famines and things like that, but it's spiritual. And we've learned the Bible has a lot to say about spiritual judgments, and we've gone over this, like the statement to Adam and Eve, "In the day you eat thereof of the tree, you will surely die," and they did not die physically. Adam didn't die until he was 930 years old, and so he lived hundreds and hundreds of years after eating of the tree. But the statement was made, "In the day you eat, you will die." He did die spiritually the very day, the very moment he ate of the tree. He was dead in trespasses and sins. And we also know that the judgment on the churches was a spiritual judgment, even though the Bible uses a lot of language that could be mistaken to be physical in nature, like famine and sword and pestilence and all those kinds of things, to describe a spiritual judgment of the removal of the Holy Spirit from the midst of the congregations, which resulted in no salvation within the churches during the length of time God was judging them. So we learned, okay, the Bible points to Judgment Day on May 21, and Judgment Day could have come and did come, and it was spiritual in nature. The cup that Jeremiah 25 says that God first gives to his people that are called by his name, that speaks of Judah there, but spiritually would point to the churches. The same cup is then handed over. There's a transition to the nations. and there's no distinguishing the cup. In other words, the cup that was given to the churches is the cup that's given to the nations. And therefore, the judgment that came upon the church could be the exact judgment that comes upon the nations. And they are given the cup of judgment on Judgment Day to begin drinking as God had already poured out to his people. But the big struggle and our difficulty has come with the duration of the judgment. We had thought 5 months, then we had thought doubling to 10 months, and now some thought it would be the length of time that Noah was in the ark, and I believe will be maybe today is the last day for that scenario. But the question really that we struggle with is the duration, how long the judgment will be, and not did Judgment Day come, and not the nature of the judgment anymore. It's just how long. And so if we take Revelation 9 and the whole question of 5 months and put it aside, we have all the other information still intact, and so we're not as confused as you might think, and we're not as far off base as many might think, and many are going this way and that way. They're rewriting everything. They're thinking that they don't know this and we can't trust that, that people are going back to the church and they're thinking, well, if this wasn't true, then nothing's true that we've learned or been taught. And it's not that way at all. We have learned a great deal, but God, for his own purposes, has kept this information from us. It doesn't mean he may not reveal more as we continue on. He might. When the Great Tribulation started and judgment came upon the churches, we thought it was 2,300 days. But then, as we passed that, we learned, well, it's an extended period of judgment on the churches of 23 years. And so we've now entered into a period where we don't know the duration right now, but we could. And it would be the Holy Spirit. Now, there's what goes along with the verse in John 16:13. Let's see. I think it's in Mark 13. And by the way, this would mean that a wise man's heart discerneth time and judgment. We still were able to know Judgment Day. So wise man's heart did discern time and judgment. It would also mean God did nothing without revealing his secret to the believers. All these things are still true and still accurate. Well, it says in Mark 13 in verse 9, but take heed to yourselves, for they shall deliver you up to councils, and the synagogues ye shall be beaten, and ye shall be brought before rulers and kings for my sake, for a testimony against them. And the gospel must first be published among all nations. But when they shall lead you and deliver you up, take no thought beforehand what ye shall speak, neither do ye premeditate. But whatsoever shall be given you in that hour, that speak ye. For it is not ye that speak, but the Holy Ghost. Now the hour is referring to the hour of judgment, the Great Tribulation. And it was during that period of time the scriptures were open, and we began to speak many things that we had not previously known and could not have known. It's why God said don't premeditate upon it, because no one during the church age could have learned of the end of the church age, and it was not God's purpose to reveal many things until the proper time of the hour of the great tribulation. But notice he says, that speak ye. And Mark 13 is the parallel chapter to Matthew 24, and again, it's dealing with the great tribulation, the end of the world. And it goes on to say, whatsoever shall be given you in that hour, that speak ye, for it is not ye that speak, but the Holy Ghost. As John 16:13 says, the Holy Spirit will guide us into all truth, and he will speak during the great tribulation, which he did. How did he speak? Well, when we compare scripture with scripture, or spiritual with spiritual, 1 Corinthians 2 declares the Holy Ghost teacheth. And in order to teach, you need to speak. So through the opening of his word, based on the methodology God has given us as we've studied the Bible, here a little, there a little, and discovered these things, it's the Holy Spirit, God himself, that has spoken. You know, let's just remind ourselves that God saw fit to raise up Family Radio after 50 years to make it a worldwide organization. Well, first he had to develop the technology in order that a message could be delivered worldwide. And this is the first time in history or in these days that such a thing could have even been possible. And then he had to give that particular ministry a mindset of just complete faithfulness to the Bible. No matter what, whatever the Bible says, we will declare it, we will share it. And he did this, and then he placed it on the heart of his people to share this information to all the world with a clear and certain sound, as the trumpet must give a certain sound, else who will prepare himself to the battle. It was sent into the world, Judgment Day, May 21, and all the world heard. Of course, this little children or certain individuals and could not comprehend or understand, but basically all the world heard this one message. The first time ever such a message has gone to all the earth, to all the nations, and they heard it. And so here we find ourselves at this point, and in such quietness after May 21, and the gospel's not going out anywhere near the way it did before. And God's people, the true believers, many of them who would not hesitate to go to the remotest parts of the earth, they went to India and all sorts of places in Asia and Africa, South America. They were in Europe carrying the gospel message. And these people love to share the gospel. And they have been doing it for quite some time. And they were doing it on a daily basis. And now it has stopped. And the same people, if they haven't stopped altogether in distributing tracts or sharing the gospel message, are extremely hesitant to do so. Why is this? Why is it that, well, because of the failed date of May 21, 2011, is that why it is? Because of embarrassment? Absolutely not. I remember back in 1994, and things did not happen as we thought. And in 1994, leading up to it, I had an opportunity to go to India with some other believers to bring the gospel. And then in 1995, after September 94 did not happen, Family Radio still had a team in India, and I had an opportunity to go again. It's a completely different set of circumstances. Family Radio continued to grow and expand, actually far greater than it ever had previously to 1994. And the gospel went more and more out into the world. Not the case now, not the case at all. Here in Philadelphia area, we lost our radio station. And in Maryland, they lost their radio station. Family Radio is not expanding anymore. It's not growing. It's trying to maintain what it has. It's lost two very key radio stations. And we have to, of course, look at the Bible, and the Bible points to May 21 as Judgment Day. And now we see after that, look, the circumstances that have developed, and we just realize, well, we don't know everything. We don't know how long this time period will be, but the rest of the information is very solid and comes right from the Bible, so we can trust it. Well, thank you for your question. I would like to thank everyone for sharing your questions and your comments. We have come to the end of our time this afternoon. Lord willing, this coming week we'll continue our study in 1 Samuel. We hope to have the study tomorrow night. Even though it's a holiday, Memorial Day, we still hope to have the study at 9 p.m. Eastern Time to 9:30. So please join us if you can.
And thank you for joining us here on eBible Fellowship Sunday Afternoon Questions and Answers Time. You can hear this broadcast each and every Sunday around 1 o'clock Eastern. And don't forget, you can also join us for yet another live Questions and Answers Time Friday evenings at about 9:30 p.m. Eastern. Until then, have a pleasant Sunday afternoon, and may the Lord's perfect will be done.